They call it the Super Bowl of bass fishing, and the winner will take home $300,000. The FLW is returning to Hot Springs, so we'll call this the Angler episode of Hot Springs This Week.
Hot Springs This Week, a look at things to do and people to meet in Hot Springs, America's first resort.
Welcome back. As always, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Coming up in a future episode, I've already completed a conversation with Louis Sella, the fourth generation of Sellas to operate Oaklawn Park, and I think you'll find him pretty engaging when we talk to him next week. You can follow us for updates on Twitter at HS This Week. We're also on Facebook, and our episodes are on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, several platforms. I really appreciate hearing from you, and please tweet us with your suggestions for other podcast guests here in Hot Springs. Whoever the listener is in England, yes, we have a listener now in England. Welcome to you. My colleague Jennifer Bailey is with me later to run down things to enjoy here in Hot Springs, and you can find activities on your own at hotsprings.org. That's the tourism website here in town. Let's jump into fishing, pro style.
I want to go fishing, because it takes my stress away. I want to go fishing, try and cast my blues away. I want to go fishing, I don't want to watch the clock. I want to go fishing, I don't ever want to stop.
We'll start with Billy McKagan, one of only 52 anglers who qualified to fish in the Forest Wood Cup on Lake Hamilton. We recorded this conversation on July 23rd. Billy's from Mayflower, Arkansas. This is his first ever time to qualify for a tournament like this. And as you'll hear later, the lake goes through a period of when it's closed to anglers. Then, the week of the tournament, they can come out and practice fish, getting ready for the 3 days of competition, August 9th through the 11th. Now, a disclaimer on the front end, if you are an angler of some skill level, I apologize, because I don't know anything about fishing, so some of my questions may seem a little naive, so bear with me. Nonetheless, here is my conversation with Billy. Billy, what first got you involved in FLW fishing?
Actually, I started a long time ago, back before they were called BFLs. It's like the local version. They were actually Redmans. Probably 1998, I started fishing the Redmans, which are now BFLs, which, long story short, that'd be like professional baseball, Class A or Double A would be the BFLs, and then you'd move on up to like the Coastal Series, which would be right before the professional, and then FLW being once you make it to the highest level.
Have you fished in this particular tournament before?
No, this is the first time for me making the championship.
So this is a particular thrill for you.
Oh yeah, this is why we fish. This is like our Super Bowl or our World Series or the NBA Finals. This is the pinnacle in our sport.
So have you fished Lake Hamilton before?
A few times. For as far as being somebody who lives here, not as much as I would have liked now, knowing I'm going to be fishing, with this much on the line. But I have been there.
So without giving away too many secrets, when you come to a new lake, so it's sort of a new lake for
right.
You, how do you scout the lake? What do you look for? How do you learn your way around?
This one, I actually got to do it by in my boat, idling around, graphing, using my Garmin electronics, look for all the offshore drop-offs, rocks, brush, just so I got to visually see the lake this time. For a lot of guys that don't get to come out, there's lots of tools now to research a place. You got the internet and everything where you can learn a lot about a place before you ever even see it.
So for those of us who don't know anything about angling, what are you looking for?
I tried to research, and being from Arkansas, I know a lot about what goes on down here. But seasonal patterns, which we're going to be in the toughest part to, consistently catch fish. So I tried to look at a variety of stuff, from the bank out to like 40 foot deep. I didn't want to leave any stone unturned.
Do you anticipate most of your fishing to be near shoreline or more of it to be in deeper water?
I'm going to say hopefully a little both, but probably toward deeper water. We're going to be in the dog days of summer. After the spawn, they typically go out and they stay out there to the fall when the bait moves back to the banks or back in the back of the creeks and stuff. I don't want to have any preconceived notions. I'm going to try a little bit of everything when our official, you know, 4 days of practice gets here right before the tournament. But if you, you know, if you had to pin me down right now, I would say I'm going to be fishing away from the bank.
Anglers who are listening, amateur anglers, will wonder, what do you like to fish with? Do you have favorites?
I have favorite techniques. Doing what we do, you have to do what you're really good at. And I've tried to learn a little bit of everything. Every time I go fishing, I try to learn something new technique-wise. But if you had to, you know, if I had to get pinned down or on one technique, I would say either swimming a jig or actually pitching and flipping a jig around the cover is probably my favorite.
Now, you can tell from the look on my face, I have no idea what you just said, right?
Exactly. But that's it. You know, a lot of people that don't, but that's, I mean, that's even a better reason to come out, you know, especially for people that live around here and living anywhere close to Hot Springs. You can come out and get some free tips. And
that's over at the arena. I never thought about this. Do you get concerned that people who recreate on the lake get too close to where you're fishing?
It happens, but, you know, that's just part of sharing the lake. You know, it's their lake too. You know, it's a little frustrating to know what you have on the line. And if, won't say this as nicely as I can, you know, some people just don't understand fishing. You know, I've had people run right over the top of my line or, you know, right where I'm fishing. But, you know, I anticipate the lake to be crowded, but that's part of fishing. And then knowing the people that live here around Arkansas, I don't think it'll be too bad. They're pretty courteous here.
Sure, but, you know, if the weather's good, you'll have lots of people pulling tubes, water skiing, whatever it might be. That could interfere.
That's just a factor we're going to have to deal with. And, you know, I tried to take that into consideration while I was out there practicing. I mean, I've been on Hamilton enough to know, you know, and we go to a lot of lakes that are, I can think of a few that are really populated that are actually way worse than this one that we've been to.
So as a pro angler, does that make you sort of pray for bad weather?
I don't like bad weather, to be honest with you. Now, rain, yes. I wouldn't mind if it rained a little bit enough to keep them off, but I don't like that.
That's what I meant. I don't mean thunderstorms, but
thunder,
I mean,
lightning, I'm going to be hiding under a dock.
But you wouldn't mind fishing in the rain?
No, not at all. I wouldn't mind at all.
Compare Lake Hamilton to some of the other lakes on which you've fished.
The closest one that just pops out to me is Lake of the Ozarks. It's full of, you know, boathouses and docks, and it's super crowded. And it's even way worse. It's more dangerous than being out here on Lake Hamilton because the boats are about twice as big and go twice as fast. And there's always a party going on out there. And it's reminds me a lot of just like a baby Lake of the Ozarks.
So when you pick a spot, you cast for the first time, how long will you work that spot until you said, nope, this is not it, I've got to move? As an angler, do you know pretty quick if you're in a good spot?
Typically, you know, it depends on how much confidence I have in a spot. I like to move around, so I won't give it too many casts, you know. If I have, like, let's just say one dock or one brush pile, and that's like one target, you know, I might throw 5 to 10 times, and I'm going to the next. Now, if it's an area that I really believe in, you know, I'll slow down and try to milk it.
Have you been in spots where maybe you've cast and instantly hit 3-4 fish right away?
Oh yeah, every time you can, and there's a good chance that's going to happen with somebody on this lake on this tournament, because this lake's known for, you know, fish schooling up together. And I'm not necessarily talking about the ones you see jumping out of the water, but they'll be grouped up. And if a guy could find the right spot, I mean, I've fished 8-hour tournaments before without ever moving, you know, and just set in one place all day.
What do you think it's going to take to win? Do you have a number in mind of how many pounds you think it will take?
I've got a number, and like I say, I don't have a tremendous amount of tournament experience on this lake. I think 12 pounds a day, which is going to be 36 total, somewhere in that range. It could be a little less, a little more. You know, the weather's going to have a lot to do with it. You know, we get really stable weather, or like we were talking about the rain, you know, you can never tell. We could get a hurricane or something come up through, and we get 2 or 3 days of rain. And I would say the weights would tend to be closer to the maybe 40 pounds for 3 days.
How does rain impact fishing?
I've always said the fish don't know what's going on up there, but it's darker. That, you know, you have more low light, and they're more subject to get out and roam around and feed. Plus, it's not as hot, you know. It's probably the main thing is the barometric pressure. I mean, the fish know when there's a low pressure coming in.
What does that make the fish do?
It makes them active, where they'll really get out and feed. You know, otherwise, they may want to just hunker down. And sure, they'll eat, but you might have to hit them right on the head. You know, they're not going to put much effort. They're kind of like a, I'm not going to say all, everybody, but sort of like me on weekends when I'm not working. I want to, like, lay on the couch and watch some sports on TV. I don't want to get up and hustle to get anything. But, you know, those low-light conditions, that's just nature. They know that's the time, you know, bait fishing stuff they're feeding on can't see as well, and they can ambush them, you know, a lot easier.
What's your best tournament?
Like the best one I've ever had?
Right.
I've had a couple of them that really stand out, and actually it's not any that I really ever won, but I can think of a tournament I fished in California, and I've never been to the lake we were at. I was struggling. This is the first day of this tournament, I was struggling really bad, and I finally got into a little area and caught some fish, you know, on a particular technique. I was like pitching a soft plastic bait to some reeds. So I go back the next day and I can't get a bite in the same area. And I noticed there was some offshore grass out there. Well, I changed up and I caught them really good again just by changing my technique. And then I made the cut, so I got to fish the next day. And the next day I couldn't catch them either way. And I ended up, you know, the fishermen will understand what I'm talking about. I tied a real heavy weight on and started punching matted vegetation. There was just a few little spots where the wind had blown the grass and might piled it up, and I ended up catching them better that day than any other day. To me, that's one of my better tournaments I've had, just for the simple fact that I was able to make adjustments daily. You know, I didn't get stuck in one rut.
It's just another thing where you can just never give up.
Right, exactly. You know, on that particular tournament, I think I only finished around 20th, which on the tour level stuff, that's, you know, that's not a shabby finish, but you know, I was pretty proud of how I fished.
I presume your goal is to win this tournament, but what are you thinking in terms of getting ready for the FLW?
I'm not going to do anything any different, to be honest with you. I'm going to work. I'm going to try to have all my stuff, you know, which I'll do that at night when I get done, have all my tackle and everything that I can do, I'm going to have ready. You know, you don't want to ever, you control what you can control, and then the rest of it's just going to take care of itself.
You're out there for many hours each day by yourself, Billy. What's the thought process while you're out there? Is it guarding against losing focus? And tell us, as a professional angler, what goes through your mind?
Your mind is probably 75 to 85% of the game. There's 10 or 15 guys that are probably 10 or 15 of the best fishermen, you know, in the world will be here. The person I look up to the most is fishing in this tournament, and he's one of the greatest fishermen alive. But the thing you have to guard against, those fish don't know who those fishermen are, and you have to stay positive. You have to believe you're going to catch a fish. If you go 3 hours, 4 hours without a bite, you still have to, you know, mentally believe and be mentally tough. That's the mental part of fishing to me is the most important thing. And I've had a really good year this year, and I can go back to one day out of, I don't know how many days I fished throughout the tournament season, but I've had one day where I just lost it mentally, and I fished terrible, and I done terrible on one of the best lakes we were at the whole year, and it just was strictly just between my ears. Wasn't anything physical. I just, we call it spinning out. I spun out and just lost my focus.
What do you do to get it back?
I just have to set down whatever it takes, just calm down, you know, and really you need to be patient. I'm not a very patient person, but you have to be very confident and just let those bad days go. I was able to come back the very next tournament, in which I talked to a couple guys, and then one of the top anglers of all time told me, I was standing next to him in the bag line, and she's the other Arkansan fishing here, Larry Nixon, one of them, to me, maybe the greatest tournament bass fisherman ever. He kind of cracked a joke and asked me where I went, because he said I obviously wasn't on the same lake as everybody else that day. And, you know, it kind of broke the stress a little bit for me, because I'm, you know, everybody's been there. If I could sit here and tell you how to not lose your mental focus, I wouldn't be welding on the side. I would be, you know, one of the top guys fishing, to be fishing all the time.
When you're not fishing in a tournament, I imagine you have friends that know you're a pro angler. Do they ask you to go fishing, and is it something you enjoy doing it when there's no pressure, or would you rather not fish if you're not fishing in a tournament?
Oh, no, I love to fish, and that's what I do for fun. And, you know, I try to – I'm real lucky my dad's still alive, And I try to fish with him. And, you know, I haven't really got to fish much this year during the – and people will think I'm crazy, and even the guys I fish with on tour do. I got an 8-year-old son that's really good at baseball. And so my time home this year, we've been at baseball practice or tournaments. And so we've fished since January. And our regular season ended right around the 4th of July or 1st of July. I launched a boat and went fishing twice this whole year, except the days I was on the tour or practicing or fishing. Sure. So, you know, I really haven't got to fish a lot, but I do. I've got some friends I fish with a lot. Really like going with my dad.
Well, good luck to you, and I appreciate your coming to be with us.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I want to thank FLW for recommending me and giving me this opportunity. They're a great organization. I can't wait to fish in the cup with them here in 2 weeks.
Always. A bad day of fishing beats a good day of anything else.
Of course, that tournament is put on by the FLW. I spoke with Joe Opager from FLW headquarters. So here's my conversation with Joe from the FLW.
So we start with, it's very unusual, Joe, for the FLW to come back to the same location 2 years in a row. What's bringing you back to Hot Springs so quickly?
A number of different reasons. Obviously, first of all, the fishing, you know, it's August all around the country and fishing is tough everywhere. But we know that you guys have some great fisheries in this neck of the woods. And Lake Hamilton is one that can sustain a tournament of this size. You're going to have 52 of the best bass anglers in the world out competing on this lake for 3 days. So you got to have a fishery that can sustain it. Lake Hamilton meets that requirement. Another reason is the fantastic fishing community there. It's our second in a row, which is the first time ever, but I believe it's our fifth time coming with the FLW Cup to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and it's because every time we come, the fans pack the house. And, you know, it's nothing better than a full house at Bank OZK Arena on Sunday night as we're crowning our champion. You know, a number of different factors. Of course, the facilities themselves, the fish hatchery there, Andrew Halsey Fish Hatchery, is a great takeoff location that's going to be able to handle all the people and get the anglers in and out quickly and efficiently. So a number of different reasons, and it's one of the reasons we keep coming back to Hot Springs.
If you are a casual angler here in Hot Springs and you like to fish on Lake Hamilton or up on Lake Ouachita, are there opportunities at the show down at the convention center to pick up some tips to make you better as an angler?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're going to have, in addition to the 52 anglers that are going to be competing, there's multiple pro anglers that didn't make the Forestwood Cup, and then also that don't make that final cut that are going to be working at the show. You know, everything is free for all the kids. There's lots of goodies and giveaways, and you know, there's lots of sponsors and anglers there willing to help and answer questions and sign autographs, take photos as well.
So 52 anglers coming from literally all over the world. How tough is it as an angler to get into this cup?
Oh gosh, it's extremely tough. I mean, we take the top 40 pros from the FLW Tour, which has 160 anglers competing on that. So you've got to finish in the top 25% throughout the season to get in that way. Otherwise, there's a couple of other different ways in. We take the champions from our Costa Series and our BFL Series and our College Fishing National Champions. And these are anglers that have fished all the way through their divisions into their championship tournaments and then won those tournaments. And then now they're in the cup. So it's a very prestigious tournament. It's the biggest payday in the sport. And it's certainly a tournament that every angler dreams of fishing.
If you'll permit me a golf analogy, is this kind of like the FedEx Cup of bass fishing?
Absolutely. Well, I would say this is the Masters of bass fishing. This is the championship. This is the one that everybody wants to win. The most prestige, the most media coverage, the most money. So this is the event that you want to win, the granddaddy of them all, the FLW Cup.
So, Joe, as a casual observer, kind of walk through what we should expect. It's 3 days of fishing, and how many fish can they take?
So we're going to have all 52 anglers launch on Friday morning. They're going to go out and fish all day on Lake Hamilton and try to catch their five biggest bass. They're going to fish all day long, and they're going to catch way more than five bass, but they're going to keep their five biggest from throughout the day. And then they're going to bring them into Hot Springs and weigh them in front of the fishing crowd and show them off to the fans. And that's where we make our television show. Every day they're going out to catch their five biggest. The first 2 days of competition on Friday and Saturday, the full field will compete. On Sunday, only the top 10 anglers will compete. So we cut the field down to 10. only the final 10 go out. And same thing, they catch their five biggest. The winner is determined by the biggest three-day cumulative total. So there's that's all the fishing fun. But then, of course, we've got the FLW Expo going in conjunction with the tournament. That's a lot of fun for all the kids and the entire family to come out and kind of get the experience without having to be on the water.
So 52 anglers will catch five fish each, haul them over to the convention center to be officially weighed.
That's correct.
Ballpark 250 fish a day. Do those go right back into the lake after the weigh-in?
Absolutely. Our anglers are some of the best conservationists in the world. We have all precautionary measures taken in order to ensure that we keep as many of those fish alive and healthy as possible and get them back to Lake Hamilton as quickly as possible. As soon as they're weighed, you'll see the angler on stage and kind of get interviewed, but the fish will be taken off immediately. They're rushed back. We've got a massive pontoon back behind the arena, and they're taken to the pontoon. They're put into this live release boat, and as soon as that boat is full, it's ushered back to Lake Hamilton. They go right out to the middle of the lake, open up the floodgates, and boom, all of the bass return to the lake.
So I know there's no way of knowing this for sure, but I'm guessing there's a chance, Joe, that somebody on day two catches a fish that was released after being caught on day one.
Oh, absolutely. We'll see that a lot of times. You know, sometimes that's some of the more popular areas. Obviously, we're not the only tournament organization that does this. So oftentimes you'll see these community holes out there that build up. And what they are is they're just, you know, release areas where these tournament release these hundreds of fish. And, you know, a lot of the times the fish will migrate back to different areas of the lake. But also a lot of the time they kind of congregate in some of those spots. So those can oftentimes be some of the crucial spots you see. And those are also the spots you'll see that the local anglers will get to fish after the tournament leaves town.
How do you keep the anglers from knowing where you release the fish when you take them back out?
Well, the anglers will all be at the Bank OZK Arena. I mean, there's really not a way to, I suppose if they really wanted to get tricky, somebody could follow the release boat out and stuff, but also it doesn't always go to the same place. And we do that because we don't want, you know, to put, like you said, it's 250 fish a day. We don't want to put 500 fish back in the same exact spot for 2 days. So they'll go out and they'll put 100 fish in this spot, and we'll put 150 fish in this spot, and then tomorrow we'll go to a new spot. So it kind of just, we kind of try to spread it around the lake a little bit. But that being said, you know, if someone really wanted to be tricky and detective like, they could absolutely follow the release boat. But most of these guys are worried about getting rigged back up for the next day of competition.
Now, I know that the lake was off limits for a period of time to these professional anglers, and then they can go out and what, trial fish or scout fish for a couple of days before you get started?
That's correct. They do have a little bit of a pre-practice time, and now that we are just 2 weeks before the event starts, the lake will go off limits completely. And then, of course, our official practice period will start that week of the event on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. The anglers will be out on the water practicing the 4th through the 6th.
What do they get from practicing, Joe? I don't know anything about fishing, so how do you practice fish? Are you looking for where the fish hang out?
Sometimes. It kind of depends on the fishery. Oftentimes, it's going to be the first time that these anglers have ever seen the lake. You know, we're going to have guys coming here competing from New York, Florida, Canada, from other countries, you know. It's going to be their first time to Lake Hamilton, so oftentimes during the practice period, they just kind of get a layout of the lake, you know. How does it fish? You know, is there a lot of coves? Is it wide open water that can get, you know, really wavy really quickly? So they're kind of experiencing the lake, and then they're also just trying to find what the fish are doing. Obviously, by practicing before the tournament, the fish tend to move a lot, so they may find a school on Monday or Tuesday, but by the time tournament rolls around on Friday, those fish are going to be gone. So they're looking more for like patterns, kind of maybe what phases of the spawn or whatever that the fish are in, and kind of where they're starting to set up. so that on tournament day, they can have something in mind to go to.
On tournament day, they all launch at the same time from the hatchery. What is that at sunup?
Yeah, 6:30 a.m. is what time they launch, and they do go out. They do have boat draw numbers, so it'll be, you know, boat one, boat two, boat three, and they'll take off in a random draw. But it does go very quickly, and the entire field will be out within, you know, 10 minutes or so.
And then they have to be back at the arena for the weigh-in by when?
Well, the weigh-in starts at 5, but I believe they have to check in around 3:30 or 4, and then that gets reversed both days. So, for example, on day one, boat one will be going out, will have to be the first boat to check in right at 3:30 or whatever the first check-in time is. And then on the second day of competition, that will flip. Boat one will then be the last boat that has to check in, so they might get an extra half an hour of fishing time or so. So we can do that to try to keep it as equal and balanced as we can.
And then in an event this big, they feel a lot of pressure, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these guys have been fishing all year to get to this event. You can't buy your way into this event. There is no entry fee for this event. It's whatever they win is, you know, their paycheck for the year. So they with $300,000 on the line, there's certainly a lot of pressure.
Joe, are most of these guys anglers only, or do some of them have other jobs as well?
A lot of them have other jobs. Being the championship event and having the different anglers coming from different circuits, there's a lot of different lifestyles. But the 40 of the top pros that come from the tour, the majority of those guys are pro anglers. You know, they fish tournaments mainly for a living. They travel around the country and do outdoor shows and that stuff. But, you know, we've also got anglers in this event from our BFL series, from our Costa series. And these are guys that have just won their way up to this event. They're not really pro anglers. They're just getting their opportunity. So we're going to see the full gamut in this one. Shut up and feel.
So my thanks to both Billy and Joe. We certainly wish Billy good fortune as he heads out onto Lake Hamilton for his first ever FLW Cup. A couple of things to remember if you are interested in fishing but you're not out on the lake. The Convention Center's Expo is open for 3 days, part of the FLW celebration. There's no charge to go in. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, August 9th through the 11th. And if you're out on the lake, please be mindful what these anglers are doing is very important to them. And please be courteous if you're out on the lake. If you see a bass boat with an angler out there, remember, he's fishing in a professional fishing tournament. Don't approach him, and please don't run your boat past him at high speed and upset what he's trying to get done. It's a very competitive sport. Now on to other things you can do in the coming weeks here in Hot Springs. My regular visit with Jennifer Bailey. As we do every week, a rundown of things you can do here in Hot Springs in the days ahead. And with me from our sister station, 105.9 KLAZ, here's Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Well, starting August 2nd, there's several performances of the award-winning musical Chicago at our Pocket Theater. You can call them for the exact showtimes.
The first Friday of every month, of course, is Gallery Walk downtown. It's been going on for 25 years. The galleries stay open late. They have new exhibits often, and even some serve complimentary beverages, so just stroll around downtown, see some art.
It's a fantastic event. Love it here. It was talked about in the conversation portion of this podcast, but the FLW is going to be in town August 9th through 11th. That comes with a big free fishing expo at the convention center all 3 days. It wraps up Sunday the 11th with a free concert with Trace Adkins.
Somebody will win $300,000. Wow. Okay. If you like watercolors, August 10th, that's a Saturday. Check out Watercolors in the Garden. That's at Garvin Woodland Garden, starting at 1 o'clock. $40 if you're a member, $60 if you're not.
Well worth it, though. The Northwoods Trail has another full moon ride. This one is Thursday, August 15th at 6. This is a no-drop, beginner to intermediate ride. BYOB, that means bring your own bike. And after the ride, there's going to be some grilling and music. It's free, but weather-dependent.
Likely I won't make this one, August 16th to the 18th. If you're into ink, be at the first annual Arkansas Tattoo Convention at the Arlington Hotel. A weekend pass in advance is only $20, otherwise it's $20 a day. If you want more information, ArkansasTattooFiesta.com.
Oh, come on, Neil. We can tattoo that bald head of yours.
There's not that much ink in the world, and no chance that's going to happen.
Saturday, August 17th, it's Fun Fly for National Model Aviation Day. So it's going to be at Cedar Glades Park. Pilot registration is $20, and that includes your lunch.
And, of course, always a variety of live shows at theaters around town, various ticket prices based on what you want to see. And if you want more information on any of the items we've mentioned, just go to hotsprings.org, click on events, and you'll see all sorts of things to do. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thanks much.
Every week we visit with Kimberly Bogart from Entergy Hydro. Entergy, of course, operates Lakes Hamilton and Catherine, and they control the flow on the Ouachita River below Remmel Dam. Here's my conversation with Kimberly. So, Kimberly, you had an interesting experience. You got to ride along with the Swift Water Rescue Team.
Yes, I did. I got invited by the Malvern Fire Department to go down to the Whitewater Park down there in Malvern and Rockport and watch them do some practice maneuvers.
So I imagine part of what they do is getting to the scene pretty quickly, and I guess that boat lets them do that.
It is. They've got two flat-bottom boats, but they have these unique engines I'd never seen before. They're jet-propelled engines. They look like a standard propeller-type engine, but they actually work similar to how a jet ski might work, where it has an impeller bringing in water and shooting it back out. So it actually allows them to operate in about 4 inches deep water. Oh, it's very quick. That day, because their goal is to have at least 50%, but definitely more than that, of their personnel trained in swift water rescues, they were out there practicing with some of their volunteer workers to go out there and do the maneuvers and do the J turns and stuff to try to get people from the river. And so, you know, what typically might take you 3 hours to float from Remmel Dam to Malvern Whitewater Park, they were able to traverse in about 6-7 minutes in that boat.
From Malvern all the way up to Remmel in that amount of time.
Yes, it is fast. I was surprised.
So let's change topics for a moment, because lots of times on this podcast you'll talk about flow rates. You emailed to property owners around the lake what they can expect, anybody who's impacted by the waters. And obviously this podcast is a great way to get that information. But if you want it more up to date, there are a couple of sites you can get to.
Right. With this podcast, we obviously have to tape it in advance of the time period that it gets aired in. So we sort of try to project forward what we're anticipating based on how much water's in Lake Ouachita. But we do release on Wednesday and Thursday, an email out. We call it our flow news. It also gets posted to our Facebook page, and that's the Life Facebook's page. This is Life on the Lakes, and you can join that and you can view it. You don't have to have a Facebook profile to see it. It is a public page, and it will give you more up-to-date information on what's going on with the flows for the weekend, for the week, or if we have any high flows planned or experiencing high flows due to any storms. It gives you up-to-date information.
So if you're not on the water already and you want information, if you're driving into Hot Springs, in other words, or to Malvern, you get some pretty good information on that.
Before you come over for the weekend, or if you want to know what's going on, you can either check Facebook for that update, that weekly update, or you can sign up on our website at energy.com/hydro. That's H-Y-D-R-O. There's a link to sign up for our email listserv, and that's a weekly listserv that we send out.
In this podcast earlier, of course, we talked about the FLW, which will be fishing on the lake officially. The tournament's the 9th through the 11th of August, but they'll be practice fishing earlier that week. Does Entergy Hydro do anything special during that time?
We've not been asked to do anything during that time, but I know that they tend to like the lakes to be level. And that's kind of our original management plan anyways, is to try to maintain that lake level on there. Now, we are still flowing through the dams, you know, managing the water out of Lake Ouachita as far as that goes. But other than that, hopefully it'll be about the same thing that most anybody should see during the week.
Thanks again for enjoying this podcast. I hope you'll subscribe. So far, we have followers in 14 states, and as I mentioned, even someone in England following us now. So welcome to our British listener. Hot Springs is a wonderful place to visit, and once you do, you may even want to live here. If you want more information about Hot Springs, again, the website, hotsprings.org. My thanks to our partner, Visit Hot Springs, that helps make this podcast possible. And remember, you can follow this podcast on Twitter at HSThisWeek and on Facebook as well. Your suggestions and reviews are always welcome. Thanks again, and we hope you'll enjoy your next visit to Hot Springs, America's first resort.